Hi, this is Chad Smith from Juggernaut Training Systems here for JTSstrength.com, talking with elite level powerlifter Brandon Lilly. Thanks for sitting down and talk with me today, Brandon.
Oh, not a problem. Glad to do it.
So first, let's just get into your athletic background. What sports did you play in high school, if any, in college?
In high school, I was believe it or not, a pretty good soccer player and a basketball player. And my motivation to actually get into weight training started because I'd had some interest from some college, to play soccer. They wanted me to play at a bigger school because I was at a very small school. So I switched schools, and due to the moving law, like for recruitment, I moved to another school within the same county without leaving residence. So I lost my eligibility. And I was kind of going stir crazy. And one of the football strength coaches pulled me aside and was like, hey, you ought to at least come lift with us, come in here and just, get some of that aggression out. And that was the beginning of my weight training. And through him, I got introduced to a track coach at Berea College and started talking to him about throwing some. So I started throwing a little bit in high school and ended up going on to Berea College and being the thrower there.
Nice, nice. You were throwing shot, disc, hammer, which, what events?
Well, I threw the shot, disc, and hammer, and we had a free throw requirement, but the hammer was usually just one throw. The disc was usually just one throw, and I was out because I was terrible at it, and the javelin, I was awful. So, the shot that I really enjoyed, the hammer I really loved. I got to train with some really good guys there. At Berea, believe it or not, they had a pretty good group of guys when I was there. So, I enjoyed it. And, wish I go back to the Berea relays every year that they have up there and watch. Coach still tries to get me to throw, but I haven't thrown since I left. So, I'm going to do that one day.
Yeah, coming from the soccer background, that's got to be a very rare one among powerlifters. Were you pretty strong right away when you started lifting, or has this been a very long process for you?
I would say I was an above average beginning deadlifter. I was an absolutely terrible squatter. I mean, I was 165, 170 pounds in high school, and when I was 17 and I switched to the new high school, I was about 175 pounds. But while I was there, I grew 3 inches and broadened out probably 4 to 5 inches, and through that I started weightlifting and working out really hard, and I went from 175 to 220 in the course of a school year. So squatting when I first started, I remember 90 pounds being difficult to do for a set of eight, and the bench press is awful. Like, I think the first time I benched, I did 65 pounds or something, 75 pounds. But the deadlift, I don't know why. I was always pretty good at that. I pulled 450 the first time I ever touched the deadlift bar. So, and it was on one of those trap bars. So it wasn't a true deadlift, but 415 on the trap bar seems to catch my coach's attention.
Yeah, I'd say particularly in proportion to that 75-pound bench.
Yeah, I was pretty thin. I mean, like I said, all our workouts for soccer were, 5-mile runs and leg extensions and lunges and stuff like that. So, I mean, I had some leg development, but I was extremely, extremely thin. So
yeah.
No real strength.
I wouldn't have pegged you as a soccer player, but so you've trained at some of the most prominent powerlifting gyms, really in the world. Your time at Westside Barbell and then at Lexan Extreme. Could you just kind of talk, take people through, tell people what it's like to train at a big place like that.
You're definitely there to be a world record holder. And that may have been one of my shortcomings when I train there is that I'm a person who looks at small goals with long goals down the road. And, you know, I was always more worried with the next meet, the next meet, the next meet. And when I talked to the other guys, you know, Dave, AJ, Jake Anderson, you know, they're talking about, well, you know, I could have a world record if I did this, or I could have a world record if I did this. And that was just never in my vocabulary. I don't know if it was because I trained with those guys and just saw how amazingly strong they were. But I just tried to keep myself realistic, because in the past, when I've trained unrealistically, I've gotten hurt or I've been disappointed. So it was kind of one of those things I learned from my mistakes, so maybe it hurt me a little bit when I was training at Westside. But you'll not find a better gym, as far as if you go in there and you talk to Lou and you say, Lou, there's something, there's a piece of equipment that somebody says is great, I think it'll work, he'll buy it. I mean, it'll be there within the week. And he'll have everybody trying it, everybody pushing one another. And that's the atmosphere there. I mean, it is absolutely do or die at Westside. You know, everybody is there to help each other, but at the same time, everybody there is in competition with one another. I've never been in a place that was so aggressive as Westside. I mean, even at Lexington right now, I mean, it's a high-caliber gym, but the guys there seem to gel a little better, and it's not like the guys at Westside hate one another. It's just that there's so much competition in everything. You know, Lou drives the competition between the morning and night crew, between the first set of squatters and the second set of squatters. I mean, it's more like I've heard it described as like a jailhouse mentality. You know, you better not hang your head or do anything like that, because they're going to attack. You know, they're going to jump on you if you show any weakness. Mm-hmm. And that's true. I mean, you have to be a pit bull to train there. And at Lexington, like I said, there's a little bit more freedom as far as what you can do as programming. When I was training with Chuck, the best thing about training with him was the mental toughness that I gained. You know, I kind of had the basics down as far as the training, because Chuck trained the modified Westside system. He doesn't use the box entirely throughout a squat cycle. And he has a couple other variations, but what Chuck did was he took the mentality that I had coming from Westside and intensified it. You know, he made it a battle within myself. So where at Westside I was competing against every other 308 lifter out there, all the 308 lifters in the gym, Dave Hoff and whoever, Chuck made it a one-man battle. He said, forget everybody else, forget every other number, beat yourself. And in some ways, that's as much of a challenge as beating anybody else. So that's probably been the biggest change there at Lexington. And then, you know, after the March meet, I broke out for a couple of reasons and started training on my own. And that's been good for me, you know, because now I'm not depending on someone else to do my programming. I'm doing the programming that works for me, and I've got those lessons from Westside and those lessons from Chuck, you know, and it's really starting to pay off. I mean, I think in the last 3 months, my lifting's been better than it has my whole life.
And what are your PRs?
In multiply, my PRs are 1,005 in the SPF on the squat, 975 in the RPS, which is a little bit tighter judging. 820 bench press and 755 deadlift in the meet. And in the gym, you know, the PRs are roughly the same in the gear, but the only difference is raw. I squatted 805, it was a little high. I bench pressed 570, and it was a touch and heave, and just pulled 775 raw on Tuesday.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, I think when you were talking about, taking control of your own programming, that's something that, like, too many lifters fail to do. You know, they want to go on Elite Fitness and look at people's training logs and do exactly what I do, or exactly what Brian Carroll does, or exactly what Croc does. but they're not taking ownership of it for themselves and making their program work for them, you know, because everyone's going to be different, respond to different things, have different weak points. And there's a quote from Alexiev, the great Olympic lifter. He says, "Everyone wants to do my program, but they can't do my program because if you do it, then it's your program." You know, and figuring out
what. Chuck is probably the most extreme lifter I've ever been around, and you know, to try to replicate his workouts, he's basically beaten his body for 25 years. You know, every rep, every set is still done as hard as he can possibly do it. There's no middle ground with him. And what I found was, I was trying to do every rep with him. And in the beginning, yeah, I saw a little spike in my strengths. But in the next 3 to 4 weeks, I go to the gym and I was always banged up. I was always having little nagging injuries. And it's just, you can't knock somebody that's done it for 25 years. I was telling somebody, I used to work in a service garage, and you'd have a guy that had turned wrenches for 20 years. His hands would never bother him. And you get a rookie turning wrenches, within 30 minutes, his hands are tightened up and sore, and it's just, it's one of those things. You have to adapt to your training level, and, Chuck's at the highest end of the spectrum. I mean, he trains 7 days a week, 4 days a week powerlifting, 3 days a week bodybuilding, and he goes as hard in his bodybuilding workouts as he does in his bowl.
Yeah, if there's one thing from each gym, Westside and Lexan are training with Chuck Vogelpohl, that you're going to take with you for, the rest of your powerlifting career, what are those things?
The thing that I'm going to take away from Westside is, it's been in the Bigger, Faster, Stronger movie, and it was the idea that, when you go to war, you go to kill. You don't go to war to be killed. And that was something that Lou, he said it 1,000 different ways, but his whole goal was preparation and peaking us for the meet. And I think that Blue really taught me how to peak and understand when to push and understand when to back off. And he kind of taught me how to listen to my body. That was something that was really, I didn't do that before. I was one of these guys that was just, I went to the gym, I trained as hard as I could, lift as heavy as I could, and then I would go home and hope that by the meet, I felt good, So learning how to, be the best is kind of what Lou taught me, having that mentality that some days coming in and doing nothing is better than beating yourself up, So that's probably my lesson from Lou, is learning how to peak for a meet. At Lexan, getting over, respecting, but getting over the fear of weights is what Chuck helped me with. Because when I got up to a certain level on the squat and the bench, it's kind of an intimidating thing to have 800 pounds handed out over your face, as well as it's kind of an intimidating thing to get under 1,000 pounds on the bar. And every single rep I did with Chuck, he was encouraging me. He was telling me, it's just a bar, you're a man. Kind of making it a war between me and the weight, and that was something I'd never done. I'd always tried to be very methodical, very emotionless about it, and Chuck taught me how to be aggressive but restrained, and that's something that, if you ever watch Chuck lift, when he approaches the bar, you can see him fighting back the aggression. He's about to go crazy, but as soon as he gets under the bar, he's a perfect technician. Until he gets the up call, and then it's just like this explosive rage. And, it's the same for him on his deadlift. He's not a great bench presser, but he benches the same way also. He approaches it aggressively, stays under control until he gets the press command, and it's like, boom, it's like uncoiling all that adrenaline and aggression and whatever. And that's what Chuck helped me with. He really helped me overcome a lot of my own fears and self-doubt that I used to have with myself.
Now, you've had the opportunity to train with some of the, you know, top ranked lifters in the world, and I know, like myself, you're definitely a fan of the old time 70s and 80s powerlifters. If you could put together your ultimate training group, you and three other guys, who would you choose to train with?
Well, one and two is very easy for me. Doug Young and Bill Kazmaier, two guys that I instantly turn to as far as idols of mine, just because when I watch those guys, especially Kaz, he was the first person I really admired as a weightlifter. And when I started to find out about him, you know, he was a powerlifter that did strongman, that did the Highland Games, that did every form of, you know, circus strength act, you know, whatever it was, if it was related to strength, he could do it. And he looked like a giant. He looked like a lifter that I wanted to be like, you know. Whereas there are a lot of guys, strong guys, coming up that just didn't look the way that I wanted to look. Kaz had that look. And then, you know, I see Doug Young with that big beard and that iconic picture we were talking about with, like, the perfectly groomed chest hair and all that stuff. And he just looked like a Greek god of sorts, you know. And then I started following his lifting. And those two guys just set themselves apart as idols in my book. And, you know, for me, the other person that I would say as a training partner is going to surprise some people, but Jake Anderson at Westside, he was probably the number one reason that I ever made it to Westside, because when he came to Gorilla Squad Barbell in Berea, Kentucky, where I was training, you know, I was very average as a lifter, a 700 squat, 500 bench, and a 700 deadlift. And when he got there, we just kind of made a promise to each other that we were going to do whatever it took to get to Westside. And we had some of those knockdown, drag out, you know, bringing blood to your nose and eyes kind of workout. And it was to see who would make the other one quit first. And, you know, we battled in strongman, we battled in powerlifting. And Jake's one of those guys that just, he excels at any strength sport that he tries. And through that, he made me a better lifter. So I think with those three guys, I don't see how you could have a better training group.
So I know you've got that XPC qualifier coming up in about two, 3 weeks. And then you've talked about wanting to do a raw meet coming up here. As you transition to doing more raw training, and for the people who, you know, follow you on Facebook and whatnot, they've seen you do some very impressive raw lifts over the last couple of weeks. What areas do you feel like are lacking for you as a raw lifter, and what has prompted you to want to get into a raw meet?
Well, the number one thing goes back to what I was saying about Kazmaier, being well-rounded and being a strong person, no matter, you know, what the day it is. If a guy called you up and said, hey, let's go down to the local gym and let's have a deadlift contest, being able to walk in and be successful. You know, when I was at Westside, and even before that, a little bit since I've been at Lexham, I was becoming a very good one rep lifter. But a long time ago, I was a really good lifter with reps, with heavier weight. And I think the problem in American lifting, kind of, I think you and I talked a little bit about it at the compound, that, you know, I watched Coakley deadlift 753 for 10 reps, dead stop, no belt. And it's like, where in the American training model has that gone? You know, you don't see very many guys doing those high reps like that. And, you know, the Russians, they don't use the bands and the chains like we do. And they're strong as hell. And that's what was happening with me, was I felt like while I was starting to excel in one area, which was the multiply, I was losing the raw background, the raw base that I had established for a long time. So it was important for me to, like, try to balance both. So when I stopped training with Chuck in March, after I would do my powerlifting movement, my full gear, you know, say I would do box squats or, you know, free squats in my brief, I would do Olympic squats, just trying to develop the muscle that I'd lost. Because, you know, when I walk around before, I used to feel really strong, just like, you know, I always felt tight and I always felt strong and big and hard, you know. But then the better I got at powerlifting, some of that went away. You know, I got soft and I lost some of that strength feeling that I had. So it was important for me to get that back and kind of got into the raw stuff just by default, doing some of that training. You know, here and there I'd do a lift for a single, and guys are like, man, that's pretty good. You ought to think about doing a raw beat. It just happened to be that, you know, I was back home in Kentucky with some guys. I didn't have my Chucks with me. I had on a pair of those Reebok Zig Techs, and I didn't have my briefs. All I had was my belt, and they were squatting. So I was just going to do some Olympic squats. And they were like, well, let's just see what you can do. And slowly I started working up. And I went up to 805, and those shoes, and I mean, granted, it was, you know, I was pitched forward, my elbows were flared back, and all sorts of things, but it really made me set a goal for myself that I wanted to be able to replicate that squat and more with good form, you know. So that's been something I've been working for here lately. You know, I did 760 for a double in the gym last Friday. So, you know, I think the strength is there. It's just going to be some technique work for me on the squat. Bench is my best and most favorite lift. And then the deadlift, out of nowhere, hit that raw PR the other day. So, and I think that comes from a lot of the front squats I've been doing, just moderate weight, higher rep front squats. It's really helped my deadlift, because everybody in gear tells you to pull sumo, pull sumo, pull sumo. So I had done that, and I'd always been a conventional puller. And, you know, because in the gear, I don't know how much you've used it, but if you use really tight gear, pulling conventional is rough. It's hard to get down to the bar. It's hard to get your hips and legs in the right position to pull. So people go to the sumo's position. So when I get back to, you know, I really strengthened my lower back because of the sumo. So when I go back to pull the conventional, I was shocked how easy it was. So, you know, I'm looking at all these things that have happened. I know now that I need rep work. I need to continue to do sumo in my training because it does hit my lower and middle back more than the conventional training does. And, you know, it all benefits. It's all a circle. Everything benefits everything else the way I'm training right now. And I think that was something that was lacking for me, is I was just hodgepodging workouts and being lazy with some of my accessory work because my one rep maxes were going up. So, you know, I took time off from the accessories because that's all that matters, is our one rep max, but not anymore. You know, I really want to challenge myself on 3 rep max, 5 rep max, just to see how strong I can become. And for me, testing what that strength raw is, it's the easiest. So that's why it's a natural gravitation to the raw competition.
Cool. You know, Westside is probably the most popular training template, you know, getting used by powerlifters, whether it's raw, single ply, multi ply. You know, for a raw lifter, are there any suggestions that you would make for them to, you know, alterations to the Westside template and, you know, Westside style training? And I know that you don't actually train Westside unless you train at Westside. It's a conjugate method, but the way that it's, you know, traditionally understood through Louis' articles, you know, lots of box squats, bands and chains, partial range bench movements. What suggestions would you make to a raw lifter who wants to use a Westside template?
Well, this is something that I've actually had arguments with raw lifters about in the past, and I think I'm a pretty decent example that using gear as a supplement can help you as a raw lifter. This is the first thing I would say to a raw lifter. If you're going to lift entirely raw, try to do the Westside template, lower your percentages. Don't try to stick to the percentages that guys are using with gear, because over time you're going to kill yourself. You're going to break yourself down, and that gear, believe it or not, really does help you recover because you're not so beat up. I would dedicate the max effort Monday to the deadlift. That was something that Dave did, and then Jake Anderson did, and AJ followed. was instead of doing a lot of the variations on the squats, it became more of a dedicated deadlift thing. And what you've seen, you know, AJ went from a 760 to an 815, Jake went from a 710 to an 860, and Dave pulled an 825, which was his best ever. So as a raw lifter, where you're not going to be getting the Olympic-type squats to really work the quad and hamstring development that way, developing your deadlift through assistance movements. Like, I'll give you an example of what I did when I was at Westside that I've carried on now into to my training at Lexington and my raw training. The first week of the wave was always max effort. It was never from the floor. It was always from blocks or from a deficit to try to learn to overload, you know, from the blocks and to increase my starting speed from the floor. I would pull from the deficit. The second week is always the speed week. Against bands, just do 10 reps, 10 singles. With, you know, for me, I was using about 40 to 45% of bar weight with about, you know, 20 to 25% band weight. And doing 10 singles and then increasing the weight every week throughout the three-week wave. And then the third week for me was a bodybuilding exercise day. You know, I would go in. First thing I would do was a high-rep deadlift of some sort, like pin pulls, Zercher deadlifts, something to that effect, good mornings, whatever. But then I would break my back and my legs down into individual groups and start bodybuilding. And when I started doing that, that's when my deadlift started coming up again. And to me, that was the beginning of the thought process to, hey, Brandon, you need reps in your workout scheme. You need to do these, you know, bodybuilding-type movements to develop individual muscles instead of just always working leverage and technique. Because at some point, the muscle has to lift the weight. You can't depend on a squat suit or a deadlift suit to lift the weight for you, even though it does give you great assistance. You know, I needed to develop those muscles. So I started doing a lot of shrugs. Started doing a lot of high face pulls, Bulgarian deadlifts, snatch grip deadlifts, things like that, just to work my back in a different way. Never heavy, never high intensity, just moderate weight, moderate reps, you know, for several sets, just to try to build my back. Or, you know, on the bench press, I think raw guys, on the speed days, that's the number one mistake guys make, gear, crawl, whatever, is they use percentages that are too high. For me, I was using about 150 pounds of band, anywhere from 185 on the bar to 225 on the bar, as fast as I possibly could. We would get visitors to Westside, and they're using 315 for their speed weight, and their best bench press is, say, 450. You know, so it didn't correlate. Uh-huh. So raw lifters really need to step the percentages down and listen to their bodies. You know, be a bodybuilder after you're a powerlifter. So go ahead, do your main movement on the Westside template. Dedicate your Monday to the deadlift. Keep your speed work on the squats and deadlift and the bench press as true speed. You know, if you slow down, be honest with yourself. Nobody cares what you do in the gym. You're built for the platform. So keep your speed work as speed work. And once you start getting a pretty good raw base, add some breathe so you can overload. You know, that's a tremendous benefit for me, being able to take 1,000 pounds or near 1,000 pounds every week in gear and squat it, and then turn around and to do something raw. 750 doesn't feel heavy at all on my back. So for a raw lifter, let's say you've got a 500-pound squat and you're using correct percentages on your speed week in your raw training, well, add a week where you use your briefs and you might use percentages for a 600-pound squat. So slowly overload yourself to develop that strength, to develop that unrack power. Because that's something, to me, that I watch the guy. When they unrack a lift, Dave Hoff has the best unrack in powerlifting, bar none. He can unrack 1,000 the same as he unracks 1,200. And there's no body shakes. There's no uncertainty. It's a complete, powerful unrack. And I think that comes from the overload that we did. You know, Dave is really into overloading the top end. So I think that's the best advice I can give is be realistic with yourself, listen to your body, and learn to overload.
I think one thing that gets debated a lot for the raw lifter, and something I've written about before, is the use of box squats for raw squatting. What's your stance on that?
I think the box squat will develop your hips and your glutes tremendously if you're doing them correctly. I think for everybody, this is my opinion, for everybody, geared, raw, whatever, at some point in your training cycle, you need to remove the box to accommodate what you're going to be doing in the meet. That was the one thing that I really struggled with. I could squat to a box perfectly. I would go to a meet, and I would struggle to hit depth, even though my box was at a good level. So what you need to do at some point is remove the box, start free squatting. And one thing that I found that helped me is to remove the bands from the down position from the floor and actually do some free squats or reverse band squats. Because in the down position, they act as a Smith machine. And in the overhead position, you get more of a free movement.
Mm.
So that's, I would say, probably at the 4 to 5 week out mark, you probably want to remove the box. In a 12-week cycle, you know, go 6 to 7 weeks with the box, really sit back, learn to activate your glutes and your hamstrings. And then, you know, when you get about 5 weeks out, remove the box and start seeing what it feels like to hit depth and reverse weight from the hole without that safety net of a box.
I think that a mistake that a lot of people use, raw, geared, whatever, when using a West Side template is that they have too many max effort exercises. You know, they're rotating through 10 different exercises, and it's so hard to actually measure progress that way because, you know, you're not using the same exercise often enough. You can't tell, am I really getting better at this? What are,
right.
If you were just to give me maybe two or three of your favorite max effort exercises for each of the competition lifts, what would those be?
Deadlift, I'm a huge believer in block and deficit pulls and pin pulls. The pin pulls I use as a building movement to build the muscle. I put the bar just below my knee or just above my knee. I try to, if I'm below the knee, I'm doing sets of 6 to 8 with, you know, 500 to 600 pounds. And if I'm above the knee, I'm doing sets of 3 to 5 with anywhere from, you know, 700 to 850 pounds, trying to overload the top end a little bit. And on the block sets, if I'm on a 4-inch block, it's the same principle. I work up to a max effort single, really trying to overload what I can pull. And then a 2-inch block, you know, I'll try to stay about 5% above what I can pull from the floor. And then on the deficit, you know, it's just whatever I can pull. And varying those things, you know, waving your distance from the floor and all that, will teach you to pull in different positions. You know, you might have in the starting position 4 inches off the floor, the bar might be out in front of your knees a little bit just because of the way you're built. And in the meet, you know, what's one of the worst things that can happen when you deadlift? Bar drift. So it might be a good way to learn to correct that problem when the meet rolls around. Things like that. On the bench, my absolute favorite strength builder for the bench press is floor press. And that comes from being extremely explosive off the chest and being terrible about two boards off the chest. So no matter what I do, I seem to get stronger off the chest. So I've used the floor press in 3-week waves, adding chains and varying from singles, doubles, and triples. That's my number one strength builder is floor press. The other one that's really turned me on from Dave Hoff was reverse band bench presses. Too much F in the boards. That's a huge one for me. And lastly, for the chest, is incline dumbbell presses to recruit the shoulder, to build the shoulder, to get a lot of blood flow in there. We used to take 120s and do as many reps as we could and try to stay within 5 to 7 reps of whatever that was. Let's say we did 23 or 24 reps on the incline. The next set, we tried to do 17 reps or something like that, just to push the envelope and try to actually build some pec development and shoulder development. On the squat, I don't think anybody would go wrong doing Olympic squats. I think that's something that multiply lifting has really bastardized, is the Olympic squat. But I think it's great. I think it's a fantastic movement. It's not my number one strength builder, but it's definitely in the top three for just overall leg development. And then, of course, the box squat. I think box squats really helped me become as good a lifter as I am right now. I don't know that in the advanced levels that you need to continue to box squat, but I think for beginner, intermediate, and lower level advanced lifters, box squat should always be in their routine. And the other, I think, are front squats. Front squats have been huge for me. And I'll give you a distant force. It's good morning squats where you bend and then fall into a squat position and stand up. That was something I was always fairly strong at, but I used to do them for reps, and every time I would do those for reps, my squat and deadlift would go up. So I think those are lifts that anybody geared or raw can do with great success as long as you're willing to work at them.
Good deal. So as you're looking forward to the rest of 2012, what are your goals for yourself as a lifter?
Well, the short-term goal for 2012 is to do this raw meet in 3 weeks. I'm opening it. My opening lifts are going to be about 760, right around 500 on the bench, and 720 to 730. So, I'm opening up right around 2,000 pounds. And that in and of itself, if I get my openers, that would be huge. Potentially going over 2,100, that would be amazing. And anything I do, just completing a raw meet, sort of giving myself some validation as being a decently strong guy, that's my immediate goal. The next competition I'm going to do after that is the bench contest in July with Benny and those guys. I don't really have any expectations of that, just to have fun. But serious competition is October at the XPC semifinals. I'd really like to make a strong push to go to squat about 1025 to 1040, bench 840, and the pull 820. If I could do that, I'd be creeping up on 2,700, which is my ultimate lifetime goal. So that's kind of where I'm at for the year. If the raw meet goes well in a few weeks and I do well in October to qualify for March, I don't want to take off from October to March, so I'll probably look for another raw meet around December just to give myself something to do, because I get bored pretty quickly in the gym if I'm not training for something.
Good deal. Well, thank you very much for sitting down, taking the time to talk with me, Brandon. I'm sure the everyone out there is going to be very appreciative. So you guys, as Brandon Lilly, formerly of Westside, formerly of Lexan, about to move back home to Kentucky, doing big things, multi-ply powerlifting, raw powerlifting, just a big, strong dude with excellent facial hair and a great taste in tank tops. So I have to make sure... get your address and send you out some juggernaut tank tops, and so you can sport those. I don't know if I have big enough size for you, but I'll see what I can do. So thank you very much, everybody. Keep checking jtsstrength.com for more interviews like this. Thanks, Brandon.